So then the third technique is a projective technique. Here, you know, consumers are taken into a way where he projects something, and a project is he reveals his mindset for the given conditions, etc. What is happening is that under this technique, consumers are not encouraged to rationalize anything which is consciously or subconscious in his mind. If consumer is aware what has been done, purpose for which it is done, what is the meaning of this question, etc., then he may get into rationalizations. Okay. Now, to avoid that, there are techniques. So, psychologists have developed. So, say for example, sentence completion test. I love this product because, then he has to, I like the most about this product is this. So, that way the sentence completion. Here, it is very difficult for customers to really rationalize, you know, things. He will have to then express himself. So, word association test, yani you associate which word with this, you know, kind of. Ink blot test, there are picture tests. Picture tests are series of pictures are shown and customer is asked to complete the story. So, this way you reveal. There is also a third person test, yani customer, you know, one approach to this is, instead of telling customer that this is all about him, you tell him that what we want to know is how will your relative or how will your friend will react. Okay. So, what is done is, customer is assured, okay, bhai, we are not talking about you. We are talking about what you feel your friend, relative is going to do in such scenario. Psychologists say that, however, these answers are reflection of his own self. And so, as a result, you are getting an answer which is a reflection of him. So, that way also it has been done. So, this is a, like a little psychological this aspects behind. Individuals express their feeling without being aware that they are revealing themselves. So, that's the power of this projective technique. So, for this entire qualitative research, this thing, we now study the other steps of the research design. So, we come to the sampling unit. So, researcher must define a profile of the person. This is not the difficult, earlier also we have discussed. So, say for example, focus group. If I am doing a new rickshaw introduction or I want to bring a feature rich rickshaw. So, focus group discussion, you will invite rickshaw drivers with own license and vehicle self-driving since last 5 years. So, that's a profile, that's a sample unit I have fixed up. I will invite only if he has a 5 years of experience, he has his own vehicle, he is self-driving it. So, these three condition, sampling unit, there may be more conditions. You know, you put more conditions to qualify. So, that's of course depending on the need of a research. And so, there is a profiling conditions that one need to understand. Then comes the size of the sample. Size of the sample, of course, we have studied various probability and non-probability approach. Out here, it is generally will be more non-probability this thing. However, the in-depth interviews and all, you can still have a probability sampling worked out. And you, while for the others, and you will have to mostly use non-probability sampling. In this interview, either a convenience sampling or a judgment sampling can be also used if you don't want to use any probability sampling. For FGD, you can either use a cluster, judgment or a convenience sampling. So, in a qualitative, it will go more towards the non-probability sampling type. That is what in short I am trying to tell you. So, for example, is given. If suppose I am doing a focus group discussion among the auto rickshaw drivers in Hyderabad, then I can cluster sampling based on the different locations where most number of rickshaws are being parked. So, that's a cluster sampling. So, these are the ways the procedures can be done. Instruments, for a qualitative this thing, you have to use a data instruments, data collection instruments, which are generally of two types. Either there is an in-depth interview questionnaire or a checklist. Generally, the checklist is more popular, but just to give you an idea, like other questionnaire, even in the in-depth interview questionnaires are there, but only difference is that they will not be close-ended. Okay, so series of open-ended questions, okay, they are listed in a manner that you feel that the conversation is going to flow or you expect the conversation to flow. Questions are listed in chronological order so as to pull out the desired information in the most logical manner. Okay. So, it is a visualization ke bhai, after this discussion, this has to happen. And that's how the pointed questions are put in. Some here and there may happen, but it's up to the interviewer to be smart enough to see that he do not miss out anything. Okay, so at least it ensures that the various aspects of the in-depth discussions are captured. That's one advantage. Otherwise, without any questionnaire, the in-depth interview going into, as my earlier indication, it's a free flow discussion, then you may miss out on few things. So it is better to have an in-depth interview questionnaire. The second approach is a checklist. Checklist is not a full-fledged questionnaire, but here you will have a points that you want to check. That will be covered. It will be mentioned as a point, and you try to see that each points are covered during the data collection drive. Okay, so checklist enables the moderator to ensure that the conversations remain aligned to the expectations, or he can revisit this to see if any point has been missed out, etc., so that he can trigger the discussion on that. So at the end, the checklist enables you to see that either the flow is maintained or at least ensure that you collect all the desired information. Okay. Moderator has the option to jump to any part. That's also another advantage of a checklist. Depending on how he feels the discussion is going, moderator has a choice to trigger more enthusiastic conversation by using another aspect of the checklist. So that he can do. But at the end, yes, he has to ensure that all aspects of the checklist are covered. All right. Other steps in the qualitative, this thing also, after you do this research design and the sampling, etc., you get into collecting the primary data, you analyze the data, and then prepare your report to convey your findings to the management. So that's about the research process that we were trying to understand. So now we get into trying to visualize how the segmentation research study can be done. So we have completed. In this slide, we have completed all the seven steps of conducting a consumer research. Now we are trying to check different facets of consumer research. So one such research is a segmentation research study. Here the study is done for the purpose of developing a segmentation. The primary objective is that I want to evolve my segmentation. So marketing manager who wishes to decide this and he has to create the segmentation strategy, etc., we'll have to conduct this kind of a research. So suppose if it is for the toothpaste that he wants to create a segmentation, he would first collect the secondary data. So that is the number of people, number of household, number of toothpaste, you know, that is being sold, used, etc., by the household, etc. And this secondary data will give him some perspective. Then he has to get into the specific of the boundaries of the toothpaste market that they want to consider, whether he wants to look at all types of paste or only gel paste or herbal or non-herbal. So that he has to fix up. Okay, bhai, I will do this study within this kind of a people, any and everybody using this or only my brand, etc. So those are the boundaries, as we call in the research methodology. So this is how, as we say, the segmentation research proceeds. They might then decide to conduct a qualitative study. So qualitative study is like the earlier part gave you a lot of idea about quantification. But however, there are aspects which needs a qualitative answer. So you may have to do the qualitative research also. Qualitative research may look at different area. Like here it has been mentioned, the need dissections or the motivation, the perceptions there. What is the latent needs, etc. So that is the need determination, benefit sought, etc. Attitude towards the brand. Okay. So here the example, coffee drinking in general or towards a specific brand of coffee, etc. So these are those qualitative aspects of the research. You may have to conduct a two different research for understanding your segment better. The marketing manager may then want to conduct a quantitative study to confirm the hard numbers. So even after the first phase, yani the first two phase, now there may be a stage where you want to put up a hard number, yani hard number of the demand, hard number of the decision makers that you want to see, what people of customers are going to buy your product when you launch it, etc. So those are those hard facts for which again you may need a quantitative marketing research being done. Okay. Now we come to development of a motivational research. So that's another format of a consumer research. How do you gauge the motivation? How do you get the motivation? We have studied the importance of motivation earlier. Marketing research is up to this time has focused on what consumers did. Okay, that is quantitative, descriptive studies rather than why they did. And so far, whatever the quantitative or descriptive studies, etc., and that has been done. So what customer did, why they did specific thing is not been answered. So consumer behavior understanding offers various surprising explanations. When you do this, why they did this type of a study, lot of revelations comes to your mind. Yeah, so that revelations will enable you that you have to have certain aspects conveyed. So like for example, the example out here is people, the cigarette smoking was once upon a time a very fed, you know, across, and it has drawn so many people towards it because it was deep rooted in the sex. What was believed that the cigarette smokers are a macho, cool, sexy breed. So you see how this whole thing has led people to get into smoking. And so that one trigger was sufficient. So that's a motivation study. What motivates the people? What triggers the stimulation? What stimulates the involvement or encouragement to get connected with your product or the brand? So this why they did it kind of a study, when it is done, that's a motivational research study, so to say. Okay. Motivational research study definitely therefore uses a very psychological or clinical approach. We took this aspect, but we did not get much into it because they have to focus on pulling out emotional aspects. They have to read the mind. Therefore, it has to go in a very clinical manner, has to be handled by the professional, and professional only can unearth the mind of the respondent. And then overall, after meeting few people, this professional is able to give you what exactly motivates individual. So psychological methods such as the non-directive or the depth interview and the projective techniques, what we have earlier discussed, are the tool which helps you to get the motivational level or motivation trigger understood from among your segments. So that's a development of the motivation research study. How does it go about the data, the methodology and the analysis? Data generated by this technique provides insights into the underlying reasons why consumers buy or do not buy your product. So why they did it, you know, remember it comes from there. So at the end, you will come to know why they did it or why they did not did it, that, you know, so why they bought your product, why they did not buy your product. For example, in trying to discover why women bought traditional roach sprays rather than a brand of roach killer sold in the little plastic tray, researchers asked women to draw a picture of cockroaches and write story about their sketches. So what came out was that cockroaches symbolizes men who had left them, you know, feeling poor and powerless. Killing the cockroaches with a spray and watching them turn upward and die allowed the women to express their hostility towards the men and have a greater control over the cockroaches. So see that startling revelation why they did. So there was a study done by one of that cockroach killer spray guy who did this. Why the preference towards the spray is growing vis-a-vis earlier product wherein there was some this thing given and there is some glue or something is there and it has supposed to attract the cockroach, and when cockroach comes in they get glued to it. That was a traditional days of a way to handle the cockroaches menace. But this research revealed among women means they felt power by discovering that or by conveying that, especially among you know, the women who were say like a divorcee or who were overpowered by their husband, etc., they were expressing a joy of seeing the cockroach die as the men they hate, you know, die. And how the guy turns turtles and suffers when the spray is put on a cockroach. They were enjoying that part, you know, because they felt that they took a revenge. They have a control over the cockroach. So see how this, so that's what you then see that most of the ads will come out saying that, you know, the lady spraying and the cockroach turning turtle and dying immediately, etc. So those kind of motivator, this thing is inserted even in the communication. So that the communication is supposed to have that larger impact. Okay. Selective product personality profiles uncovered by motivation research. So here I'm just trying to give you an idea. In the book, there are many such things. So say baking evokes pleasant, nostalgic memories of an odor spreading in house while a mother is baking. A woman is subconsciously and symbolically going through the act of giving birth when baking a cake, and the most fertile moment occurs when the baked product is pulled out of the oven. So you see how the baking condition is linked with the baby products. So baking is supposed to, while it is happening, the aroma, the feeling, nostalgia, etc. So that they have linked with the fertile moment occurring, and then the birth of a baby is shown equivalent to pulling out of the cake. Similarly, there are other, this thing is given. I am not say getting into explaining them one by one, but it's like a product personality profile uncovered by motivation research. What is motivating an individual in his mind or in his subconscious mind, etc.? If it is read well, then you are able to use them for not only the product development, the promotion, as I told you, the marketing, communication, etc., will become more relevant and therefore will become more effective. Okay. What are the limitations of the motivation research? If one has to really understand, because of the intensive nature of a qualitative research, it's a very intensive research. Samples are small in number, thus there is a concern about generalization. Such research, you do not get large number of people. Okay. And market research is nothing but generalizing from the sample. So what you study or what you understand from the few people, you are supposed to generalize as to be true for the entire population. So can it happen with the small number of samples? That is the one biggest limitation of the motivation research. The analysis of the projective test, if you have used in the motivation research, and in-depth interview are highly subjective. The same data given to three different analysts. So now look at the scenario. You're using a projective technique, you have collected the data, or say in-depth interview, the recording and all video capturing has been done. Try and giving it to the three different professionals. What it says that you may come out with three different perspective. So if that is a limitation, it's a very serious limitation. So it depends on the eyes of the evaluator, how he looks at. Now that depends on his background, etc. So finding a evaluator with a sound mind, balanced mind, is also a challenge in the motivational research. For motivation and other psychological aspects to be probed, there are statistical methods, say like correlations, etc. One can use. Descriptive methods are like interview and introspections. We have studied say this. And experimental method, clinical case study, survey, developmental and observation. Observation we have studied, survey we have studied. Clinical case is a very technical this thing. So we have not got into that. Interview methods we have studied. Correlation is a statistical tool, that statistical format, which once you use, you are able to correlate the relation between the two factor, and therefore you can decide whether one is happening due to the correlation of with the others. Is there a relation in one incidence happening with the other factor or an attribute? So there are many other aspects that needs to be come into picture for conducting a motivational research. So therefore it's a very complex a method of a psychology research, and therefore used only when it is most needed. When you are investing in a product which is of a significant importance to you, then yes, probably you go ahead and do that. So we will study select aspect from this, from the psychological research perspective. Not that everything will be covered, such as like, so for example, correlation, the statistical technique, we are not going to cover it essentially. So there are descriptive methods which we have discussed, as you say out here, descriptive methods. So that is interview and introspection. Introspection again have a three subset: causal, experimental and teacher. So now we are not going to get into each one of them in detail. We'll get a macro view. So in introspection method, so here interview, because we have covered earlier different types of the in-depth interview, etc. So we have done that. So I am going to straight away get into introspection. Findings of introspection can lead to further research. So here introspection is like a prior understanding, prior findings, etc., as you say. So it may be just a starting point for another further fresh research to initiate. Only source of knowledge of sensation, feelings and motives. And so it can be used where a scientific method is not possible. So this is used, introspection is used where scientific way, that is there are no statistical tool related research method is possible, and then you get into doing the introspection way of research. When there is a general agreement on the reports, we may rely on this result. The various stakeholder has to rely on it because it may not have been done with a very scientific approach to the research problem. However, certain introspection approaches gives you the relevant signals, and now if that signal is acceptable to the stakeholders, you consider it as acceptable. Okay, disadvantage of such introspection method is the person may make his own spontaneous judgment. People, when there is no scientific background this thing to the findings, people may tend to get into making own judgments based on what has been presented to them. Subjective, in nature it cannot be checked whether it is a true or false, because it may vary from person to person, situation to situation, may differ from person to person. That's what I just told you. Having the same or a different experience may look at this introspection method related findings differently. So that's a disadvantage. May give contradictory results. What is true for one may not be true for the others. So as I told you, it depends on how you evaluate various stimulus. And here the source of knowledge, sensation, feelings, etc. They may differ person to person based on his background. Emotions and deeper feelings. Emotions and deeper feelings may further cloud the introspection finding. May come in the way of scientific and objective assessment of the sensation or the other aspects which you have observed, you know, kind of. So that's a disadvantage. A lot of subjectivity comes in. Then comes the experimental method, which is that last column. We will study some of them. I will want to further take you experimental method. Okay. And now we will study, not necessarily again, we will study all of them. It is the observations that take place under the conditions controlled by the experiment. We have as such studied the experimental method earlier. So it's the same, in a controlled manner experiment is conducted where an investigator or a researcher looks at the behavior of the consumer. The subject is a person on whom the experiment is done. A person who conducts the experimenter is either known as an investigator, experimenter or a researcher, as you say. Variable is any key factor based on which there may be an impact on the selection of a goods or the service. It may change, it may be a qualitative factor, it may be a quantifiable factor. So you keep one factor variable and others you keep constant, and then you try to see the impact of experiment that has been conducted. So advantage of experimental method is, in earlier, if I had to give you, we have earlier discussed, you may keep price different at Ghatkopar, at Malabar Hill, at Juhu, etc., and try and see whether price has any relevance, or you may keep the offer different and try and see which offer is working well. So those kind of aspects are studied under the experimental method. Advantage is, since extraneous variables are controlled, there is a greater confidence in the result. Means other extraneous factors are controlled while you are doing an experiment, this thing. You are able to get a better empirical and a scientific understanding. This experimental method under the psychology research, essentially it's a laboratory kind of thing. Earlier experimental method that we have studied was in the open market. So there were many extraneous factors that may also impact, which is very difficult to make out. Here it is done in a laboratory environment. Laboratory environment means not necessarily that you create a lab, etc., but where this experiment is happening, you try to minimize other extraneous factor impacting the experiment. So therefore the belief in this kind of a finding is much higher. Through this method, hypothesis can be tested. You may test your hypothesis that you have set. Cause-effect relation can be tested very well. Repeatability, if all relevant conditions are controlled, the experiment can be replicated by other investigator to verify the result. So Advantage is like if there's any doubt coming into your findings, experimental method allows you to repeat the thing, which may not be the case with the open market experiment method. Disadvantage of experimental method is all relevant variables can never be controlled. In reality, you cannot control all relevant variables. So why do the experimental method while you are controlling all those things? Because in reality, it's not going to be like that. Since the experiment is conducted in a lab under control condition, the environment is artificial. Subject knows that they are being observed. Subject is very well aware it's an artificial environment. He's under observation. So all his acts are all going to get some conclusive understanding. He may himself get into bias. Okay. Experimental situation may interfere with the result because attitude of the subject can start playing. His attitude also he will start bringing in rather than being independent. So these are the advantages of a lab or an experimental method under psychology research. Investigators' handling may also affect. So person who are investigating, person who are this thing may bring the experiential bias. They have done series of such experiences also in the past. Instead of objectively looking it, they may bring their bias into it. And something that they have observed in the earlier experiment, they may try to apply it here and conclude. The experimental method has limitation and it cannot be used in all situations. You cannot create lab environment for all kind of situations, so it has its own limitations. So what we have understood is an experiential method over under the psychology research. And so motivation research and those things we have studied, the segmentation research. So this is another such area, experimental method. So different types of experimental method exist, which was also listed on that slide. Clinical case study, survey method, developmental method, and method of systematic observation, field study method, or an observation method. Not that we will be covering all of them. We have like overall clinical studies out of this thing, survey method we have understood, developmental method again we have studied recently. So it's a different types of experimental method are there to help you study the psychological aspects. So with this actually we are completing the complete research process, consumer research. These are those process steps. Just to repeat, it starts with identifying the marketing problem, define the research objective, collect and evaluate secondary data. Now two things can happen. There were conditions that we understood for the data to be valid. Do you get sufficient insight? If yes, prepare a report. If no, design a primary research. So primary research design includes things like methodologies, sampling, and the instrument. Sampling as a sampling profile, sampling number of units, and sampling method. Okay. This will vary as per the quantitative and qualitative research. So whether your research design is a qualitative research or a quantitative research, this will vary. Then comes you actually collect the data, analyze the data, and prepare the report. So that's the research process overall summary that we saw. So under consumer behavior being very, very subjective, driven by the inherent qualities, perceptions, psychographics of the individuals, it needs a research. It also undergoes a change. Therefore, it needs a constant research. Therefore, this chapter was very important, consumer research in consumer behavior. Thank you.